to the Bob Mentality Show. I'm Austin, and this is Chris. And we're continuing our series. Then this is the culmination of it with the Virtuous Loop, which kind of sums up many aspects of it. And I'll kick it over to Chris, because basically, you know, this was your idea. So what do you think about it?
Yeah, so this is a pattern that I noticed as we were doing this combination of learning sessions and retrospectives. And so we had an episode on learning sessions, we had a retrospectives episode. I think this episode's mainly about the synergy between the two. Just what I noticed is people going and learning things, you know, a lot of the time you'll have maybe serendipity at best, because what would happen is like somebody's like, oh, I'm experiencing this problem, right? But retrospectives, people will actually talk about the things that maybe we need to learn next and things along those lines. And so this is maybe not my idea, but it's like the thought that this is a core aspect of growing your capability very quickly. I think that this is something that I just started pointing out to people a lot. Doing things like agile retrospectives, lean coffees, and things along those lines, and then combining that with dedicated learning time. Now you have this thing where it's like you have a new capability from the learning, and you have people kind of voicing their needs, and now you can basically say, hey, I've been learning about that, or you know, you solve both sides of the chicken and egg problem, right? Yeah. Or you have the retrospective that's like, wow, this is a really big pain point, but we don't have a really good way of solving it. Then somebody would be start learning about that thing. And so, you know, I have examples of each. You know, on one side of it, it's, hey, you know, everything in our deployment is automated except for the database. But we don't know anything about database continuous integration. And just learning session after learning session, one developer on a 30-person team basically just dug into that stuff. And then they, you know, didn't really talk to anybody for a few weeks about it, but just like learned it and tried it out on different experiments and things like that. And then just came to the team and said, hey, I know how to navigate this and we're in the mob here. Like, why don't we just put this in place as our next thing to do? And then all of a sudden there's one team out of these six teams that are doing database continuous integration. And it was like, whoa. And everybody kind of takes a look at that example and was like, oh, okay. And then other mob members go to other teams, and now all of a sudden the whole department, the whole entity is doing a database continuous integration. And so that just came out of like this, like, hey, I have this need in this retrospective, and other team members just saying like, yeah, I learned that and I know how to do it. And then the opposite side of it is just people coming in already having known something from a learning or just a side project or something along those lines. And so I've seen projects get stood up on technologies that people only knew from their learning time. And so I know, you know, a really great example of this is just the beauty of like the home automation systems like Amazon Alexa and things like that. So people would make Alexa skills, and you're forced to learn lambdas in the Alexa skills. And so all of a sudden it's like, oh, hey, I already know how to do a lambda because I was doing this Alexa skill. And you're just like, let's, rather than making that server over there, let's just make a lambda. And so that type of like self-reinforcing serendipity that causes this loop. And what happens is that learning causes something new in the retrospective, which causes a new learning, which then goes back into the retrospective. And that's why I call it the virtuous loop, because it just goes round and round and round. And you have this, I think also a lot of people in kind of the business, like CEO kind of talk about a business flywheel. It's kind of like a department excellence flywheel. Yeah, the self-reinforcing loop that kind of comes back.
Nice.
So yeah, that's been my experience. I've been wanting to talk about it for 9 months now. So it's finally here. But yeah, I don't know.
I mean, for me, I can share what it looks like when you have one and not the other.
Yeah.
So I've been at an organization where we have bought into retrospectives, and you know, and so you have the retrospectives, problems are raised. Some of those problems are solvable, you know what I mean, in a more direct fashion. Like, oh, well, we can go change that process, we can go do that. And then some problems just keep coming up, every retrospective,
Yep.
And you combine that with no dedicated learning and a culture that's very focused on deliver for today. You know what I mean? That most important thing is you deliver for today. And then what can happen is you have problems that never get solved, essentially, because, well, I don't have time to go figure out that problem because we gotta ship another feature tomorrow. You know what I mean?
It's logarithmic growth as opposed to exponential growth, right?
Yes.
Just hit the ceiling and...
Yes.
It's the maximum of everybody's combined knowledge. And again, your junior developers are going to be the ones most equipped to move you into new technology.
Yes.
And they'll get shut down by the people that don't have the time to learn the new technology.
Yeah. And I have seen that ceiling hit, and it's a bummer. So if you're an agilist and you're like, oh, I want people to really buy into retrospectives, and you're good at facilitating them and you can solve some problems, you can get some quick wins and like people get excited about it. But once you hit this ceiling, it can be really frustrating. It's a pretty big downer to like every time you retrospect, people keep complaining about the same issue, and we just keep saying the same thing. Like, I don't know, you know what I mean? And I've even heard stories of other organizations where it took someone's like, oh, some hero, like they stayed up all night on their own time and they figured out how to do this, you know, test, you know, continuous integration thing, and then they came back the next day like dead tired, like, oh, here it is, here's it solves the problem that. And it doesn't need to take a hero, right?
Well, and the organization then incentivizes that. And
right.
And all of a sudden people are walking around like zombies because no one's getting any more sleep.
Right, yeah.
And then creativity goes way down. There's all kinds of negative impacts. And I think the opposite, like just the only learning, you know, sort of thing without the retrospection, you end up kind of in a similar space where you have like these minor, you know, maybe chances at serendipity, but it never coalesces into adoption or just diffusion of innovation.
Yeah, because retrospectives, even without forcing some trace, like, oh, did your retrospective item make it into your learning time, it will naturally occur because people are people, and they're like, man, this is painful, or man, some people are really upset about this, and they'll just naturally start researching it, right?
Yeah.
So if you have dedicated learning time without retrospectives, probably less likely culture, but
it
would probably be more academic, right? You're learning things that may or may not relate to problems, right?
You know? The chances that those things will end up as part of your production process becomes much lower.
Right,
and
exactly.
And that's why I feel like they rely on each other to essentially produce that flywheel, the virtuous loop.
Yeah, and I think one thing, so to talk about feedback loops and the virtuous loop.
Yeah.
So you kind of go back to going back in time, it was like projects would take 3 years for a loop to happen, right? To make something, get feedback, and then go through another cycle, right?
Yep.
And then it's like, oh, let's try this Scrum thing or this Agile thing, and it's down to like a month, and now 2 weeks. And I think the same thing applies to this virtuous loop.
Yep.
The longer your iterations are between retrospective and learning time, the slower the loop's going to be, right? And so I've been at places where we do retrospectives once every 2 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to get a whole lump of issues.
Yeah.
And then if you don't have any way to solve them or time to go solve them, you know, you may not see a lot happen. But let's say you do. Oh, we do training once a month and we retrospect twice a month. You know, you're going to see things happening, but it's going to feel like not related to each other and it's going to be slow.
Yeah.
And while it is crazy, daily retrospectives as part of the mob timer, along with daily learning time, you just see those innovations really kick in, right? And you
Absolutely.
Can see experiments, you know, kind of lean startup it, right? Like
we
have a problem, and instead of me spending 2 weeks on it to get to the next retrospective to see how it's going, it's like I can try it and they'd be like, that didn't help anything. And the team's like, no, this didn't help. You abandon it right away, right?
Yeah,
or if it's like, all right, we tried automating this one little piece and it's like, that was great. Okay, we can turn that up, right? And so the feedback loops are really quick.
Mm-hmm.
In that style, so
yeah, it's super important, and the spikes that come out of it, everything that kind of comes out of that that back and forth, and I've seen many times where literally it's some people have their learning time kind of at the end of the day instead of the beginning of the day, and so some people will just say, we had this problem yesterday, it came up in a retro, I learned it at my learning time, and then I'm ready to navigate it this morning.
Yes.
And just, you know, that sort of thing happens quite often, actually.
Oh, really absolutely. Cool. Yeah, all the time. And one thing I will say, and this might be a little controversial, but for your take, so not all problems that raised in retrospectives have to be solved in only learning time, right? I mean, depending upon how you... manage your backlog and your priorities, the team can be like, if the team has autonomy, they can say like, look, us automating this one thing doesn't have to be done at learning time. We can do it right now. We don't have to wait for learning time. But what learning time does is it gives that individual freedom, right? Yes. You know, and so the team may be fine with the pain of not automating this since it's driving someone crazy, right? And so that person can go figure it out, and the team might be like, oh, that was cool. I'm glad that happened. But they would have never felt the pain bad enough to go do it on their own, right?
I've written many templates and generators just out of frustration because the pain would never never solve itself.
Right? Exactly, yeah. So. Anything else before we close out that one?
No, I just think that, you know, take a look at your process and just say, what are the side effects of each of the things that you're doing? And so do you have a virtuous loop? Do you have ways to continuously go up? And do you have ways to get rid of things bad? And, you know, gradually over time, you get the 1% of infinity effect, plus 1% infinity effect of, you know, plus 1% of where you are today. It may not be much, but plus 1% every day over a course of a year will be a phenomenal change.
Yeah. So. All right. With that, let's close it out and like and subscribe and
share the video if you think it's useful to share to someone, and especially if somebody needs this information. And thank you very much. We'll see you later.
Have a good one.